Sorry, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 89. Krishna and Arjun retrieve a Brahmana's son.
Tannishamyatha munayo Vismita mukta samshayaha Bhuyamsham shradadhur vishnum Yataha shantir yato bhayam
Tat this nishamya, sorry, hearing, atha, then, munaya, the sages, vismitaha, amazed, mukta, freed, samshayaha, from their doubts, bhuyamsam, the greatest, as the greatest, shradhadhu, they put their faith, Vishnum, in Lord Vishnu, Yataha, from whom? Shanti, peace, Yataha, from whom? Abhayam, fearlessness, Dharmaha, religion, Sakshat, in its direct manifestations, Yataha, from whom? Jnanam, knowledge, Vairagyam, detachment, Cha, and Tat, it, knowledge, Anvitam, including, Aishwaryam, the mystic power gained by practice of yoga, Cha, and Ashtadha, eightfold, Yasmat, from whom, Yashaha, his fame, Cha, also, Atma, of the mind, Mala, the contamination, Apaham, which eradicates, Muninam, of the sages, Nyasta, who have given up, Dandanam, violence, Shantanam, peaceful, Sama, equipoised, Chetasam, whose minds, Akinchanam, selfless, Sadunam, saintly, Yam, whom, Ahu, they call, Paramam, the supreme, Gatim, destination, Satvam, the mode of goodness, Yasya, whose, Priya, favorite, Murti, embodiment, Brahmanaha, Brahmanas, Tu, and Ishta, worshipped, Devataha, deities, Bhajanti, they worship, Anashishaha, without ulterior desires, Shantaha, those who have attained spiritual peace, Yam, whom, Va, indeed, Nipuna, expert, Buddhaya, whose faculties of intelligence. Translation. Amazed upon hearing Bhrigu's account, the sages were freed from all doubts and became convinced that Vishnu is the greatest Lord. From him come peace, fearlessness, the essential principles of religion, detachment with knowledge, the eightfold powers of mystic yoga, and his glorification, which cleanses the mind of all impurities. He is known as the supreme destination for those who are peaceful and equipoised, the selfless, wise saints who have given up all violence. His most dear form is that of pure goodness, and the Brahmanas are his worshipable deities. Persons of keen intellect who have attained spiritual peace worship him without selfish motives. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. By becoming devoted to the personality of Godhead, one easily attains divine knowledge and detachment from sense gratification without separate endeavor, as described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.2.42. Bhaktaya Parishanu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatra Chaisha Trikta Eka Kalaha Prapadyamanasya Yathashnata Syus Tushti Pushti Kshud Apaya Nu Bhasam. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. Similarly, in the first canto, chapter 2, text 7, Srila Suta Goswami states, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayoti Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Lord Sri Kapila, in his instructions to his mother Devahuti, proposes that the eightfold powers of yoga are also coincidental fruits of devotional service. Atho vibhuktim mama maya vinastam aishvaryam ashtangam anu pravritam shriyam bhagavatin vaspriyanti bhadram parasya me te ashnu vatehi loke. Because he is completely absorbed in thoughts of me, my devotee does not desire even the highest benediction obtainable in the upper planetary systems, including Satyalok. He does not desire the eight material perfections obtained from mystic yoga, nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. Yet, even without desiring them, my devotee enjoys, even in this life, all the offered benedictions. Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 37. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that in text 16, three kinds of transcendentalists are named: the Munis, the Shantas, and the Sadhus. These are in order of increasing importance: persons striving for liberation, those who have attained liberation, and those who are engaged in pure devotional service to Lord Vishnu. Om Agyanatinanandasya Agyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurnulmintamena Dasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadaraj Shri Vasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, in this chapter we see how Krishna and Arjuna, they go to Mahavishnu to retrieve a Brahmana son. From my understanding, that Arjuna had promised a Brahmana that he could retrieve his son, and for some reason he was unable to do that. And Arjuna was about to give up his life, so Krishna stopped him and he took him in his chariot to see Mahavishnu. And from Mahavishnu they could retrieve this Brahmana's son. So on the chariot they go towards Mahavishnu through this universe. As we know the nature of this universe, that it is dark. It is because of the presence of the sun that there is light. Otherwise, by nature, this material world is dark. And Prabhupada also says on his Back to Godhead, what's that?
Where there is Godhead, light.
Where there is, does anyone remember?
There is Krishna, there is light,
Nations
is darkness, something like that. So that by nature this material world is dark, or it's ignorance. By the sun there's light. So the universe was dark. So, but because of Krishna's effulgence, everything was lightened up, so they could see, and they were crossing through the various coverings of the universe till they reached Mahavishnu. And we can also see from this, Mahavishnu, he took the Brahmana's son because actually Mahavishnu wanted to have the darshan of Krishna. This shows how all the personalities of Godhead, they are independent, and that Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, original personality of Godhead. And everyone has a relationship with Krishna, and everyone is eager to serve him in some way. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all his expansions are his servants. So basically there are two types of expansions of Krishna. One is Jiva Tattva and other is Vishnu Tattva. So the Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mama Vamcha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that all living entities in this world are my eternal fragmental parts and parcels. So that is us. So we are the part and parcel of Krishna, very minute. An example is, and we are compared to the drop of water in an ocean, and Krishna is compared to the ocean, unlimited. But Krishna also has his personal expansions, and they call the Vishnu Tattvas, that they are that they're full, they have the full potency of Krishna, but they're not Krishna. So said Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, 100%, and I think Vishnu Tattvas possess 94% of Krishna's qualities, and whereas we living entities possess up to 78 or 73%, and Brahma is a jiva tattva, and he possesses 73 or 78% of Krishna's qualities, whereas our qualities are even more and more covered to a very minute degree. So when we awaken our full Krishna consciousness, we can come up to 73 or 78%. But whereas the Vishnu Tattvas, they are around 93%. And Lord Shiva, he's not a living entity and is not Vishnu Tattva. He's somewhere in between. Because it is actually Lord Shiva who comes in contact with material nature. Lord Vishnu never comes in touch with material nature. Lord Vishnu simply glances over the Mahatattva and the creation starts like that. And he impregnates the living entities. But what Lord Vishnu does, he simply glances. Whereas Lord Shiva actually comes in touch, and then it's like that, the creation starts. So we see here they're narrating an old account, an ancient account. You know, this question always, you meet a lot of people, especially it's got a sore throat. So, you know, sometimes we come across, this argument is very common. You know, who's supreme? Who's the supreme personality of Godhead? You know, when you're speaking to people or you're preaching, this Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh topic comes up quite often. Some people say Brahma is supreme. Some say Vishnu is supreme. Some say Lord Shiva is supreme. So here also we see that, you know, this discussion was, the sages wanted to find out who's the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Brahma or Mahesh. And so basically I think the story is Bhrigu Muni, he goes to find out who's supreme. So first he goes to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is his father. So does anyone remember what he does to Lord Brahma? I think he causes an offense in the mind. He didn't pay obeisances. So, you know, in Vedic culture, we see that that elders have to be shown respect. It's part of Vedic culture. Especially like Anirudh Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, one has to show respect to his father. So we see in the Vedic culture, the sons or daughters, they would, in the morning, they would pay their obeisances to their father, and father and mother, to their parents. Because we are actually indebted to our parents, because they have given us this human form of life and they have brought us up very nicely, or ideally standard is to bring us up in Krishna consciousness. So the son or the daughter, they are very indebted to their mother or father. So we see Bhrigu Muni, he didn't pay his obeisances, and as Anirudh Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, that was a mental offense. And Lord Brahma was very angry with him. And does anyone remember, did Lord Brahma chastise him?
He controlled
his anger. By his intelligence, he controlled his anger. And then he goes on to Lord Shiva. Does anyone remember what he did to Lord Shiva?
Wanted to embrace him?
So So he actually insulted Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva, out of love and compassion, he wanted to embrace him, you know. Just imagine if somebody comes to embrace you and you say, "Ah, you're Muji." Except for when you're going on the altar. But, you know, how would you feel? So, and Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living entity. He said, "You're covered with ashes, you're dirty, and you're this or that." And Lord Shiva was furious. And actually we see Lord Shiva is very compassionate to living entities which are situated in the mode of ignorance. That's why we see around him many bhutas, pretas, they're roaming around. Because he's so compassionate that he even tries to deliver them. So he takes them along with him. So Lord Shiva was very angry. Then he went to Lord Vishnu. Somehow he managed to reach Lord Vishnu's planet.
Lord Shiva wanted to kill him, but Parvati saved him.
Yes, thank you. Lord Shiva wanted to kill him, as Prabhupada says, but Parvati, he stopped him. So he was very fortunate, very lucky. So then he went to Lord Vishnu to see him. And Lord Vishnu was lying down, his head on the lap of Goddess of Fortune. So he went in and he just kicked him. Gave him a hard kick on his abdomen, on his chest. And then Lord Vishnu just got up, smilingly, and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we are sorry, we didn't know that you had arrived. We couldn't honor you a reception or something. We are very sorry." And then, I think as the story, I can't remember the past time, but then he goes back to the sages. Is that what happens?
Yeah, but she was angry, she said.
From this day onward, I won't favor the Brahmanas. But after that, does Bhrigu Muni go back to the sages? Okay. So then he goes back and he narrates what happened. So then they conclude that Lord Vishnu is the supreme. So we see actually this, you know, this discussion has been going on from time immemorial. It's not only a new thing. Even Bhagavatam is such an ancient scripture, or it's eternal, and you know, this discussion takes place. But we understand that when Krishna, he's in the spiritual world, he expands. His first expansion is Lord Balaram. Then I think Sankarshan expands like that. And then so on and so forth till he expands for the creation of this material universe. Krishna expands through his plenary portion in the form of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean, and from him emanate these unlimited universes from his pose. And in each and every universe, again, he expands as the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And then he's situated in the... He fills the universe with his sweat, and that sweat becomes the water, or the causal ocean. And then he's lying there on the Ananta Shesh, and from him comes this lotus stem, and there's this lotus flower. On this lotus flower is Lord Brahma. And so when Lord Brahma appeared, he was confused. You know, where is he? And he can't find out what his origin is. And so he tries to find out, you know, what's my origin? Where did I come from? So actually this is the sign of real intelligence. And unfortunately we see that real intelligence is lacking in this day and age. You know, people are brought up, they actually, intelligence everybody has, but they misuse it for sense gratification. Whereas Prabhupada said real intelligence is to find out, who am I, why am I here, what's my source, or who is God. So we see Lord Brahma, he does research, you know, he goes down the stem, goes into the ocean, causal ocean, but he can't find a source. Then he hears this sound, tapaha, tapaha. Then he understands, I'm being told to do austerity. Then he does austerity for thousands of years of demigod time. And then Lord Vishnu, he comes to him, and then he gives him a darshan of the spiritual world. Then he gets the instruction that he has to populate this universe. And then his four sons come, the Kumaras, as Anirupa was mentioning yesterday, and they refuse to marry. And then when Lord Brahma hears that, he gets very angry. And from between his eyes, Lord Shiva comes, the Rudra. And that's how Lord Shiva comes about. So we see Lord Brahma, he's in charge of the mode of passion. And Lord Shiva, he's in charge of the mode of ignorance. So when one is passionate, one can create a lot. To create something, the passion is required. And Lord Vishnu, and then he further expands, as in the heart of, in the hearts of all living entities, as Shirodakshai Vishnu. And he has his own planet called the Shvetadeep. So when there's any trouble in the universe, the demigods cannot solve it, they come to Lord Vishnu for help. For example, we see when Kamsa was on the planet, it's creating a lot of disturbance. So all the demigods, they went to the shore of Shvetadeep and they, you know, made prayers to Lord Vishnu that please descend to the earth and bring prosperity again. Then Lord Vishnu told them, I already know your prayer. I think even before they told the prayer, he said, I already know what you want. I'll come as Lord Krishna. So you all demigods, you take birth in various families before I descend. So like that we see Krishna descends or Lord Vishnu comes. And Lord Vishnu is in charge of maintenance. And maintenance is always in the mode of goodness. See, just like for example, to maintain a temple requires lot of mode of goodness. Like, you know, I can imagine when this temple was renovated in the 70s, you know, there must be a lot of transcendental passion to make this temple what it is now. For Srila Prabhupada was arriving, you know, they had devotees, they had a deadline. Madhusa Prabhu was telling us how they were working so hard in transcendental passion to make this temple. And to maintain it requires a lot of goodness. And actually in this verse we can see that the qualities of Lord Vishnu are described. You know, like it says, from Vishnu, Lord Vishnu comes peace, fearlessness, essential principles of religion, detachment. And we can see these are like the signs of the mode of goodness. And one who cultivates the mode of goodness, he also cultivates these qualities. And also one very significant point mentioned is in this verse is that people who are devoted to Krishna, they automatically attain jnana and vairagya. One doesn't have to strive for it independently. You know, just like we see in many spiritual paths, like in jnana yoga, one is trying to strive for knowledge. You know, they cultivate knowledge for so many lifetimes and practice strict renunciation. But we see when one practices devotional service, one easily achieves knowledge and detachment. And we can see that in a very practical manner. You know, before, like, we were attached to so many things before we became a devotee. And we start chanting Hare Krishna and automatically we can follow the four regulative principles. You know, if you see, following the four regulative principles is not very easy in Kali Yuga. You know, if you tell somebody, give up meat, they say, oh, how is that possible, you know? And we see so many people, like, they become vegetarians, but again they become meat eaters after some time because they don't have that higher taste. And you tell someone, you know, give up sex life, they'll say that is worse than death. So, but we see when we chant Hare Krishna, we can give it up easily. Because Krishna gives the higher taste. Or some people are addicted to gambling or intoxication. You know, that's like pretty impossible to give up in the Aussie culture. But we see even, you know, people can give it up when they take up to Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is very practical. One achieves knowledge and detachment. So, but that doesn't mean we should not read Prabhupada's books, you know, that knowledge will come automatically. You know, one has to read Prabhupada's books and try to apply it in the service we perform in a day-to-day life. And when we try to apply what we have read, then we get realized knowledge. Jnanam vijnanam. So, basically the Shastras can direct us to Krishna. But we actually have to apply it in order to taste it. For example, you know, the Shastras can tell us that honey is in this jar, but we actually have to open the bottle and taste the honey. You know, one cannot experience Krishna consciousness by licking the jar of honey. One has to open the jar and taste the honey. So, and that is, you know, primarily done by the chanting of Hare Krishna. And also a very, very nice example is given in the purport that devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord and detachment from other things, these three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as pleasure, nourishment and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. So just like, you know, sometimes we are very hungry, you know, we are fasting the whole day, and just like in Janmashtami, it's 24 hours fast. So fasting, we are very eager for the 12 o'clock Ekadasi Prasadam. So, you know, when we honor the Prasadam, we get so much pleasure. Of course, you know, Prasadam is transcendental, so you honor it any time, you get pleasure. But when we have the food or prasadam, we get so much pleasure and we feel nourished, you know. The whole day we are fasting, we are a bit weak. So when we have the prasadam, our bodily limbs again get nourished, we get the strength. Just like, you know, last in Mashmi, I fasted the whole day. So near 12 o'clock, near midnight, I was feeling a little bit dizzy because I wasn't drinking water also. So then I was in the queue, I jumped the queue to get prasadam. When it was 12 o'clock. So when I ate the prasadam, I felt so much pleasure and I felt nourished, you know. Then again, I felt normal. And at the same time, one gets relieved from the hunger. So when one performs Krishna consciousness, we can experience the same thing. You know, one experiences devotion to Krishna. And one has a direct experience of Krishna. You know, as we perform our devotional service, we can experience Krishna to the degree we surrender to Krishna. And also we get detached from other things, from mundane things. Like basically the four regulative principles. You know, we achieve detachment. So these things come automatically by the process of Krishna consciousness. One gets jnana and vairagya. Which many people in other spiritual paths, they strive for these things independent of Krishna. But the point is, one has to be Krishna conscious, then these other things come automatically. And also, it is said here that a pure devotee who performs Krishna consciousness, he doesn't strive for other things. And other things mentioned here are like the Eightfold Mystic Yoga System. And also like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shikshashtakam, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam vajayagada isha kamaye, mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatar bhakti rahitu kitvai. That, you know, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I do not want beautiful women, wealth and number of followers. So these are actually great impediments for one on the path of Krishna consciousness. But one who performs, on the platform of pure devotional service, a pure devotee, he doesn't strive for these things. But these are very big impediments for aspiring devotees. So we should take full shelter of Krishna's holy name. And try to cross over these obstacles. You know, sometimes we see like even wealth can be a big impediment. So we should be very careful of these things. And you know, Prabhupada mentions these things again and again in his purports. When I was reading Prabhupada's books, I used to think, why is Prabhupada mentioning all these things? You know, mystic yoga, this is not relevant. All this yogic siddhis, you know. But actually, you know, sometimes we see, if we can do something very nicely, we become enamored by it. Then what to speak if we get a yogic siddhi, you can walk on water. We'll be fully enamored by it. It's like sometimes I play the mridanga, you know. I think, oh, I'm playing so nicely. I've learned this new beat. And I can play for so long. So that's like a, you know, small mystic siddhi. But just imagine if we get a, you know, one of these 8 mystic siddhis. You can create a planet. You can become smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. So, you know, we have to be very careful of that we should not be deviated by these opulences we get. And a devotee who performs Krishna consciousness, it's mentioned in the purport, he gets all of these things. And also it is said, nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. So a pure devotee, he doesn't even aspire to go back to Godhead. His only aim is to, like what Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, he says, for myself I'm happy, but I'm unhappy for these people suffering in the material world. So a pure devotee, he wants to take everyone back to Godhead. That's his mood. So we see that with Srila Prabhupada and so many spiritual masters, you know, coming from Prabhupada, that their aim is to take everybody back to Godhead. That's their mood. And this is the mood of our parampara. But, you know, but also we see sometimes, Prabhupada would say that we should all go back home, back to Godhead. You know, we hear that many places, and even in the books we read. So, you know, to have that desire is also not wrong in one sense, you know, when we are aspiring for Krishna consciousness. That, you know, if we are happy in this world, we won't try to get out of this. So Prabhupada first tries to point the fault in material existence. And he's giving us this the positive alternative. Just like we see in many spiritual paths, like for example Buddhism, the nature of the material world is described, that it is a place of suffering and it is temporary. It is miserable. But once you get cured, then what do? That's not mentioned. Just like, for example, if one is sick, you know, you cure him, he comes to the healthy state, but what he does now, that is transcendental knowledge. So, till coming up to the platform of, if we understand that this material world is a place of dualities, there's heat and cold, fame, infamy, you're not the body, we are the soul. This is all actually very basic knowledge. And real transcendental knowledge starts from what is the positive thing. So like we see like in Buddhism, it talks about that this that actually we are caught up in this cycle of samsara. We have to come out of the cycle of birth and death. And but once you come out of that, then what do you do? Just hang around in become void or something. But we see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the positive alternative. Once you're cured, you come back to Godhead and have a relationship with Krishna, one of the 5 primary rasas. But a pure devotee, he doesn't even hanker for that. He just wants to serve Krishna life after life. As we see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers in the Shikshashtakam, he says, my only prayer is that I can serve you life after life. And also we see in this verse how it is mentioned that the Brahmanas are Lord Vishnu's worshipable deities. And we see in the social structure, the Shudras are compared to the legs, and the Vaishyas are compared to the stomach, because it does all the producing or feeding. And the Kshatriyas are compared to the arms of the body, and the Brahmanas are compared to the head. So if there's no head, how will the body run? How will the body function? And we see that in today's society, that the head is missing, the head and the arms. even the belly is pretty, how do you say, it's in a disease condition. That basically, so when there's no head, it is very difficult to function. That's why the Brahmanas are very dear to Krishna. But in Krishna consciousness, what we see that everything can be dovetailed for the service of Krishna. So whether one has any of these four propensities, he's still a Vaishnava. They all are equal in the sense because they're doing it for the satisfaction of Krishna. So whatever tendencies we have, if we engage it in Krishna's service, then there's nothing higher. This is higher, that is lower. You know, it is all on the same platform. So that's why in real culture we see there's always cow protection and this protection of Brahminical culture. In a real civilized human society, we'll find these things. And the more and more Kali Yuga is progressing, these two things are being not looked after. We see in the age of Kali, all over the world, so many cows are killed. You know, cows, because they don't feel the necessity of cows. Especially like in Australia, not many people drink milk, right?
A lot of people drink milk, but they mostly slaughtered cows after they got their milk. Cows would normally live, like a dairy cow would live 18 months. And after it's like they're pumped full of hormones. And then once it's given like more milk than it possibly could, artificially produce more milk than it could, then they slaughter it for consumption.
But like if you go to India, they even people do realize that actually milk is good for the brain substance, for the tissues to make finer sentiments. So, you know, and they realize the spiritual value of milk as well. And we see the cows are slaughtered, as Prabhuji mentioned. You know, they take the milk and they kill the cows once it can't give milk. And, you know, Krishna consciousness is not supported by the government leaders. They don't feel the necessity of this. And we can see this way, they have actually chopped off the head. That's why there's utter chaos in today's world. And so many solutions they're trying to bring out, but actually the problems are simply increasing. So material solutions to material problems, they always increase the problems of the world. They complicate things. That's why the Brahmanas or the head is there. Also, if you see in traditional Christian societies, there's the state and there's the church. So the church gives advice to the state or the kings. So the Brahmanas are meant to give counsel to the Kshatriyas how to run the affairs of the state. And it is the duty of the Kshatriyas or the administrators to look after, to protect all the other three classes. Like the Brahmanas, women, children, cows, it is their duty to protect them. So we see that is a true society. So we'll just stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or corrections. Yes, Prabhuji.
You want to tell us something about Ramananda Thakur and Bansidhar Babaji?
No, I can't say anything. Would you like to shed some light? Any realizations on that matter? Mataji? Any questions? Okay. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.